This is an iHeart podcast.
The FBI got caught spying on Republican senators. That's a kind of a big deal. We have former Miss Britain here to talk about what exactly is going on across the pond, the communist world of make-believe, all that and so much more coming up on I'm Right. Communists use power. This is something that you and I have talked about many, many times before. Whatever power they have, they believe in using it. And I'll tell you, as evil and sick as it is, in a way I almost admire it. And let me explain. They use power without a second thought, with reckless abandon. Whatever they get. They could have a teaching position. They could be a mechanic at the local shop, or the FBI, or a senator, or a movie producer. Whatever power they have, immediately that power is used on behalf of the revolution. That's what they do. Now, the mechanic is a problem, but not the end of the world. The teacher is a big problem, but, you know, it's probably not going to result in you getting lined up on the side of a ditch and shot in the head. You know what will? State power. Communists taking state power, specifically federal law enforcement, that's a really big deal. In fact, if we're going to study, well, virtually all of human history, that's the scariest thing in the history of the planet. And this does not just actually apply to communism. I mean, people, Ivan the Terrible. You ever heard of Ivan the Terrible? If you haven't, don't worry. It was quite terrible, to be honest with you. And a lot of people were murdered. I mean, he would do things like load people up in a house and then put a bunch of black powder in the basement and light it on fire, light the fuse, and with the people tied up upstairs, he would ride away and turn around and look and wait for them to blow up so he could watch the body parts rain down on him. But you know who did all that killing? It actually wasn't really Ivan himself, although he did a bit of it. His secret police agency turned against his own citizens. They were the ones doing all that killing. Adolf Hitler, the records show he didn't kill a single person after he assumed power. There's not a single record I've ever been able to find of Adolf Hitler killing anybody. His secret police did. Mao, millions dead. Mao didn't pull the trigger. Not after he'd taken power. He'd killed plenty of people in his youth. His secret police did. On and on, I could go down the list, Stalin, on and on down the list. When the federal government in any country has a secret police agency, and that secret police agency identifies half or whatever portion of their own people as enemies of the state, it results in mass murder. I cannot stress enough how dangerous it is, the situation we have right now in the United States of America. Don't sit back and put your feet up and smile because, well, Trump's there now, everything's going to be fixed. No, most of those FBI agents who declared war on the patriots in this country are still collecting FBI paychecks with FBI badges. Let's get to the latest story. Kash Patel revealed this to us. Multiple United States senators, of course, all Republicans, tracked by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, many of whom are friends of the show. Ron Johnson, who's actually going to join us tonight to talk about this, Marsha Blackburn, Tommy Tuberville, others. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, through years and years and years of communist effort, has been conquered by communists. Now, let me pause for a moment because I understand right now the inclination may be right now to say, hey, that was how it was under Biden. That was how it was under Obama, but we got Kash Patel now. We got Dan Bongino. Everything's fine. Don't be naive. Don't be naive. Kash Patel and Dan Bongino are two people. They're not miracle workers. They're not gods. We're talking about an agency with tens of thousands of employees. Most of the people who have spent their career trying to destroy your life and throw you in prison are still right there. The people tracking down United States senators without a second thought are right where they began. And that brings me not to the evils of the communist, which we've talked about many times before, not to him using power, which we've talked about many times before. I want to talk about something that is hard to accept, but it is very, very true. There is a relatively small cabal of red state senators who are the reason these organizations cannot be cleaned out, have not been cleaned out. While Christopher Wray and the FBI were hunting down peaceful January Sixers, kicking in the doors of pro-lifers for praying at abortion clinics, while they were wiretapping United States senators and raiding Donald Trump's home en route to trying to throw him in prison, while all of these things were going on, let me remind you what red state senators were doing and saying.
If the committee decided to, say, increase by $100 million your budget, could you spend it wisely?
I can assure you that any money that this committee thinks
good
sees fit, I promise it'll be good to
use. I believe you. What I want the American people to know is that the budget request for the FBI is below inflation. Do you agree with that?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you very well.
The budget request for the FBI is below inflation.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. After listening to you and everything you say is legitimate concern, you have a lot to do. Do you think the committee should look at increasing your budget?
What we really need are more resources, more than anything
else.
Well,
count me in for more resources to help you deal with this threat as well as other threats.
I couldn't see. Who was that Democrat? I'm sorry, I'm 44. Sorry, my eyes are starting to go. I couldn't see. Mr. Producer, was that Adam Schiff? That was Republican Lindsey Graham. Well, surely, I mean, look. Okay, Republican Lindsey Graham. Surely he's from one of these purple states where you gotta kind of be a half a Democrat to keep getting reelected. That's the case, right? Oh. No, he's actually from one of the reddest states in the United States of America. There, running a protection racket for the evil secret state police agency that has the ability to end the United States of America. Yeah, Lindsey Graham. Don't think he's alone. Ken Buck, now retired, while Christopher Wray was hunting down Republicans and treating them like enemies of the state, this is what Republican from Red District had to say.
I want to thank you for leading an agency, as you mentioned in your opening statement, that protects Americans from foreign terrorists, that an agency that protects Americans from spies from China and Russia, and cybercrime and public corruption and organized crime and drug cartels and human traffickers and white-collar criminals. And I want to thank you and the FBI for protecting law-abiding Americans from the evil that exists all around us. And frankly, I am not in favor of defunding the FBI, nor am I in favor of splitting up the FBI, nor am I in favor of using the Holman rule for the FBI director.
Red state, red district Republicans. And maybe you're one of our newer viewers and you think I'm Johnny come lately on this. I've been screaming about it for years. If it doesn't greatly concern you that America's federal law enforcement arm, America's spy agencies, America's FISA court, and America's media worked together to destroy somebody who had different political views than them, then frankly, you need to turn off the television, go live in the mountains somewhere, because you are an idiot and you are completely useless to what's coming. If we don't fix the fact that these organizations are now completely occupied by committed communists out to destroy Republicans, then nothing else matters, because they're just going to keep doing this again and again and again and again and again. It's been a problem, which of course brings me to today. Chuck Grassley, John Kennedy had this to say, because surely someone's going to do something.
If civil suits are filed against the perpetrators at the FBI, will that facilitate your investigation?
Well, What's the question again?
If the eight senators who were spied upon sue the hell out of the Department of Justice and the perpetrators involved, will that facilitate their investigation and or yours? What I'm getting to is I don't understand why we don't have a separate hearing. I find this breathtaking.
Yeah. It's just been 24 hours since the FBI investigated on it. Please give me an opportunity to sort through all this.
Fair enough. I just don't want to wait 24 years to get an answer.
Yeah. We do have an active investigation going on.
Well, if I was one of those FBI agents who did all that, I'd be pretty scared after I heard that. That definitely sounds serious. That certainly sounds like we're going to take these corrupt FBI agents and throw them in prison for the rest of their natural lives, right? Sounds like these senators are all over it. Definitely interested in cleaning up the Republic, for sure. Oh, which of course brings me to Pam Bondi from today.
Operation Arctic Frost was an unconstitutional, undemocratic abuse of power. During Arctic Frost, the FBI also placed 92 linked Republican individuals and Republican groups, such as Charlie Kirk's Turning Point, on their list. This is the kind of conduct that shattered the American people's faith in our government, as I said in my opening statement. We are ending this weaponization. Our FBI is targeting violent criminals, child predators, and other lawbreakers, not sitting senators who happen to be from the wrong political party. Several of your colleagues sitting at this dais were targeted, and others. We will continue to stop that throughout the Justice Department. That is the ultimate weaponization of government.
Okay. Then what? We're ending it. Do you think the communists who still sit inside the FBI, CIA, NSA, IRS, EPA, all throughout the government, do you think the communists sitting there watched things like that and said, "Whoa, whew, we're in trouble now, guys. We're ending it." Someone has to go to prison. Ending it is not punishment. We must have a way to visit pain on the government people who have done these evil things to us. Pain, legal pain, done legally, arrested, tried, convicted, prison. I will say again, if you want a truly just country, the only way to ensure a truly just country is reserving the worst punishments in your country for corrupt government officials. Yes, I'm talking about worse than murderers, worse than gangbangers. The worst punishments in any country should be reserved for government people who do evil with the government power they have been given. Instead, we have a completely upside down system in this country where you can apparently commit unending crimes with your government position. And of course, the statute of limitation always runs out, or we'll ask you to resign, or maybe you'll get furloughed, or we're ending it now. Ending it now doesn't bring justice to anybody. Nobody. Prison. That's what I need. I understand Pam Bondi has to show up when the Senate calls, whatever, did her testimony today. Fine. Sounds good. I need government people in prison because I'm interested in saving the United States of America. And without that, we cannot. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We are going to talk to one of those senators who was attacked by the FBI. Senator Ron Johnson, friend of the show, joins us in just a moment. If I sound a little spicy today, maybe it's because my stomach feels good. I was told about colostrum. I normally am pretty scornful about these things. Hey, you have to try this new thing. But I tried it. Cowboy colostrum. Hey, Jesse, you gotta try cowboy colostrum. So I tried it. I put it in my coffee in the morning. That's what I was told to do. Couple scoops. I had the chocolate, put it in my coffee. Now I have chocolate coffee. It's delicious. And okay, I'm a believer. My gut feels really good. I would highly recommend you go try some cowboy colostrum. You want to save some money on some cowboy colostrum? cowboycolostrum.com. Use the code JesseTV. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the boldness of these communists never ceases to amaze me. I honestly half admire it, as I talked about in the open. It's one thing to use the powers of the Federal Bureau of Investigation to spy on some schlub like me. It's quite another to use the powers of the Federal Bureau of Investigation to spy on a United States senator. But these people apparently just operate without any limiting principles. And that has us at a very, very dangerous place. One of the people who was spied on is our friend, great senator from the state of Wisconsin, Senator Ron Johnson. Senator, takes some guts to spy on you, but apparently they did it.
Well, it takes a lot of brazen attitude. That's who these guys are. You know, they quest for power. They'll do anything to obtain it and to hang on to it. But no, this is a really outrageous violation of the separation of powers here. It just shows you how, you know, unrestrained they are. It's important to note that, by the way, this information on this didn't just happen or didn't come to us because of, you know, the current FBI digging its files and everybody on board to try and clean house. This is simply because the individual, the agent, who got these records in the first place was reapplying for recertification to this particular task. You know, cellular analysis something team, okay, survey team. And so this person was wanting to be recertified, and so this was basically a brag sheet. This was something this individual put in their application as an accomplishment. You know, look at I got these phone records from these 9 members of Congress. So the reason I'm pointing that out is the task that Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, Pam Bondi have trying to get some measure of control over these rogue agencies. They are populated today. They are burrowed in. There are members of Jack Smith's Arctic Frost team still employed. Again, are they covering this stuff up? I mean, you know, Cash Patel, he doesn't know where all the documents are hidden. It should outrage every American. Unfortunately, you know, half America will just shrug, or if anything, well, they should have got more. We're in a dangerous place in this country right now.
Senator, can you tell us the details? What exactly did they do? Were they tracking everyone you talked to, texted? Were they listening to it? What exactly did the Federal Bureau of Investigation do to a United States senator?
So using grand jury, they got, I believe, an administrative subpoena for our phone records from January 4th through January 7th, 2021, you know, the days surrounding January 6th. Now, it's important to understand the timeline here, though. They raided Mar-a-Lago in August 2022. Jack Smith was then appointed later on. He announced indictments for Trump, I think, in August of 2023. Our records were obtained in September 2023. And then, interestingly enough, Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco, in November, changed the guidelines on how to obtain these records. So again, I can infer from that somebody up the chain saw this. Now, they didn't come clean. They didn't notify us of the constitutional violation, but they changed the guidelines because they realized, ooh, this is probably a problem here. But again, either this agent was just so ignorant of the separation of powers, or the attitude is so cavalier within the agency that just no big deal, obtaining the phone records of 9 members of Congress. I think it's probably the latter.
Senator, where do we go from here? And I know you and I have talked about this before, and you are limited in what you can do. I understand that, but this can't be another resignation. It can't be another furlough, you know, laid off so the person goes off and makes $1 million a year working private security on Wall Street somewhere. People have to go to prison for these violations, or these animals will never stop. They'll just do all this again and again and again. Who's going to prison?
So we need to understand, again, right now we know very little about this. Again, we know how they found out about it. Again, it's not because of the criminals inside the Department of Justice and Federal Bureau of Investigation. You know, the partisan leftists, you know, voluntarily came through and confessed their crimes. We are going to need Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, Pam Bondi to fully undertake an internal investigation and expose all this and then turn it over to Congress. Now, I'm a little concerned about calls for a special counsel or a formal criminal investigation. My experience in correctional oversight is once that happens, we never get the documents because, oh, we have an active investigation. I mean, listen, I sympathize with Pam Bondi, but you heard her in testimony today. She couldn't answer any questions because it's being looked into. So from my standpoint, do a quick internal search for all these records, turn them over to Senator Grassley and myself. He's chairman of Judiciary. I'm chairman of the Permanent Subcommittee Investigation. This is all within the request of documents we've had for Arctic Frost. Those requests have been out there for 9 months. Again, I'm not blaming Cash and Pam. They are overwhelmed with cleaning up the messes left by Democrats, and they're having a very difficult time staffing their organizations. A bunch of leftists quit. They couldn't serve in the Trump administration. They had to terminate some. And then because of the lawfare against people like Judge Troupas, who are there bankrupting with lawfare, a lot of people are pretty reluctant to, well, I'd like to serve in this administration, but I got student loans to pay off. I don't want to be subject to the radical left lawfare against me for just serving the President of the United States. So the left is relentless. Their partisans burrowed into these agencies permanently until they are discovered and terminated. This is a huge challenge for this administration, trying to get some semblance of control over their own agencies.
Senator, before I let you go, we obviously have to ask about the shutdown. Now, as you and I have already discussed, I'm in no big hurry to open things back up, but I understand some may be. Where is this whole process? How long do you think these people are going to hold that? What's going on?
Well, I kind of heard this noon. I guess they're having some big No Kings protest on Sunday. And I think the thinking is we'll definitely just can cave before that protest. They're digging their heels in. I don't know that they just think they're so reliant on the media carrying their water for them, you know, generally successfully blaming Republicans for shutdowns that Democrats cause, to think they're going to get away with this. But right now, the public polling seems to actually recognize the reality that this is Schumer shutdown. We could open up literally within an hour if Democrats just agree to vote for the House CR. And I don't know when the House is going to come back. I don't think they're going to make this easy on Democrats at all. So I think the pressure will build. Checks won't go out to military. WIC programs start going to run out of funds. SNAP programs, same thing. So all these programs Democrats feel are just vital, they're the ones, they're shutting them down. They're the ones preventing people from getting paychecks. So again, it's somewhat good news that I think 65% of Americans think that Democrats ought to vote for the clean CR.
Senator, hang in there. I appreciate it. Culture war stuff. That we have to discuss. Here's something we don't discuss enough ourselves. Look, you want to save the country. You want to save your state, your town. But we have a lot of work to do, right? But you can't do any of those things until you take care of you. You know that old safety briefing you get on every plane? Put the mask on yourself before you help anyone else. Well, that's true, because you can't help anyone else if you are dying. You need some natural herbal supplements to make you stronger and sharper, more energy. Do you want to feel full of pep at the end of the day instead of down and out, dragging, another cup of coffee at 5 o'clock in the evening? Try some natural herbal supplements from Chalk. I take a male vitality stack every day, took one again this morning. Female vitality stacks, chocolate powder, little pre-workout will have you revved up. That's called Chad mode. Go save a pile of money. You know, when you subscribe at chalk.com/JesseTV, you get a 17.76% discount. Go. We'll be back.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And here's the other thing that is quite unprecedented. And it was the tightest, closest presidential election.
I'm sorry, she makes me laugh, and I miss her, okay? Kill me. I miss her. Joining me now, we'll ask Chloe about this, the host of the Chloe Trapanato show, of course, Chloe Trapanato. Chloe, I'm sorry. I miss her. I miss what an idiot she is. I miss these big, kind of weird lies. Where do you even get the closest election in the 21st century? Where could you even come up with that?
I don't know why they let her go on stage and say that blatant lie. I think her and Donald Trump maybe had the fourth closest election in the 21st century. She must have had a little bit too much vino right before she went on stage, because that stat is just completely off, Jesse. But I miss her too.
Yeah.
I honestly am glad that she's apparently attempting to run again for the presidency, because unfortunately, but gladly, we'll be seeing more of Kamala Harris. So at least we'll have some more laughs around 2028. But she's not going to win. So it'll be really funny to see how she kind of handles this second attempt at the presidency when the first one went ever so poorly. And she is telling us in her new book that if she just had more time, maybe this next time around, since she'll have all the time in the world, she will become president. Except, as we know, the more that we get to know Kamala Harris, the more everybody hates her.
Yeah, she's friggin' horrific. Okay, so Chloe, I try the best I can not to be trapped in my bubble and assign, you know, our logic to communists like Dome. But I've had this theory that I don't think she's going to run again in 2028, just my theory,
okay,
because she really has one more shot. She's got one more shot, and then the donors are never going to give her another dime. I realize she's technically leading in the primary polls, but you think she burns up that shot against J.D. Vance potentially in 2028? That doesn't make political sense to me. She's relatively young. She's 60, which is a puppy in politics today.
I guess, yeah, you're absolutely right that she is young. We do know that now men are obviously, Donald Trump's in his 80s, or is he 79? He's up there. So I guess she does have a lot of time to run for the presidency. However, she is going after it right now, all these book tours. I don't know, Jesse. It looks like she's trying to rebrand herself a little. Maybe she will wait for 32, but to me, it's looking like she's trying again. She's kind of got the momentum. People haven't forgotten about her yet, at least the young liberal women, before we can kind of de-indoctrinate them. We still have a little bit of time. They're, you know, crazy. So while these people still believe these leftist lunatic ideologies, she might try to run again. We'll see. I'm not too sure, though.
I hope not. Game.
Like you said, she's entertaining to watch, so it would be a fun thing to have her try to run again in 28. But for the betterment and the good of the country, I hope she doesn't.
Yeah, she's just an endless source of TV fodder. But
right. I don't know who else they would put up.
Okay.
They've got nobody.
What about Newsom? Everybody knows that's kind of the one people think. If it's not going to be Doam, people think it's going to be Newsom. I could have seen Pritzker, but he might be too fat. But Gavin Newsom, probably. Does he have appeal over middle America at all?
That's a great question. I mean, he has everything going against him. He's extremely wealthy, he's white, and he's a man, and he's straight. So in order for him to win any kind of Democratic election anytime soon, he's going to have to be as anti-Trump, as annoying, as liberal lunatic as possible. And maybe that's why we're seeing him join these twitchy live streams. Did you see the clip of him playing Fortnite with his son and they were just bashing Israel? And I mean, I honestly, he is insufferable. However, he's going to have to be that level of insufferable for Republicans to gain any traction among Democrats, because again, he's got every physical characteristic at least going against him. They have no lineup. They have no roster, as us women like to say.
What about the younger, more radical women? We all know the ones we're talking about, the AOCs of the world. I realize Jasmine Crockett's not gonna have any national appeal, but the AOCs of the world, surely if people look and they think she's way too radical to appeal to anybody outside of dark, dark blue districts, but she is somebody who can get through a primary, and we both know she's going to raise a metric ton of money.
Oh, yeah, she is. And, you know, I was with my family this weekend. We had a family wedding back in Pittsburgh. That's where I'm from. And there was a beautiful reminder there that there are normal people in our country, in our cities. However, you know, there are still the family members that make you think, and they make you kind of scratch your head, like, oh my God, what are they watching? How are they so weird? And I have a lot of cousins like that are my age. And so it's kind of a daunting fact that there are still people out there who will vote for anyone but Donald Trump. So I don't know if it really matters for some people who they throw on the ticket. They're just going to vote left. There are a lot of people on the right and the left who vote this way, of course. But I think, honestly, the more liberal and the more kind of wonky these people are, the more that they attract people like my cousin, the ones with tattoos everywhere and they love abortion. They were literally talking about abortion at the wedding table. It was crazy. My one cousin has a brother who's, you know, on the transgender side. So it doesn't matter who you throw out there for these Democrats. They're going to pick them. And honestly, the weirder they are, the more some of these people like them. So AOC, I'm sure she fits a lot of their fancy.
How about that? I did not know you were from Pittsburgh. I grew up in Toronto, Ohio, right next door. How about that?
I went to Ohio State.
Spent a lot of time back there. Oh, God bless you. You know what? We're going to have Chloe back as often as possible. The Chloe Trapinato Show. Go check her out. I appreciate you, Chloe. All right. Now, there's been some controversy with the I'm Right audience because I have been talking about Massachusetts this and Massachusetts that, and we immediately get pushback from people. What about potato chips? What about potato chips? Okay, well, I'm here to let you know they have a potato chip. They're called Vandy Crisps. They have like a smokehouse. It's like a barbecue. They have one. It tastes like Italian dressing. Unbelievable. Their potato chips are unbelievable, and you can actually eat Vandy Crisps guilt-free. No, they're not weird garbage crap. It's just basic ingredients. Basic ingredients, not loaded with garbage, cancer-causing filth. Basic, healthy ingredients. So when you want to load up on some chips and watch football this weekend, you can do so guilt-free with quality, delicious potato chips. Go to VandyCrisps.com/Jesse and save yourself a fortune. VandyCrisps.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word. One that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am announcing this government will make a new free of charge digital ID mandatory for the right to work by the end of this parliament. Let me spell that out. You will not be able to work in the United Kingdom if you do not have digital ID.
Oh. Well, that's great news. It's free of charge. Hey, no worries then. Joining me now is somebody who has to reside in that communist state, Leilani Dowding, former Miss Great Britain, which is really cool, by the way. And you should check out her YouTube channel, Small Holding. Okay, well, at least it's free of charge, Leilani. Congratulations on that. Save some money.
Do you know what? This is absolutely crazy, Jesse. No one wants it. There was a petition that got about 2.7 million signatures in about 3 days. And the government responded really quickly and said, we're just going to go ahead anyway. Palantir have actually said they don't want to try and get the contract because they say it's against democracy. So, you know, you think they'd want a huge contract like that. They absolutely don't. And, you know, it's like a bait and switch. We as people in the UK have never really complained about people working illegally. There's a grey work market, and those people find a way to work anyhow. We have passports in the UK. We have a national insurance number to work, which is like your social security number. So there are checks in place anyway for British people to work. If you're foreign and you come across, you need to have a work visa. So there's already paperwork in place. So it's been a complete bait and switch. You know, this isn't just to work. This is going to go through and end up becoming like a social credit system. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. And this guy, he's so hated, and he just doesn't seem to care what any of the British people want whatsoever.
Okay, Leilani, that's actually what I want to nail you down on here really quickly is the lack of care. Because every time we talk about some new bonkers story out of the UK, it is very obvious that this is not what citizens want. The citizens don't want it. It's not popular. You just pointed out millions of signatures immediately. Now, in our country, and not that our system is working wonderful, by the way, politicians on both sides at some level have to bow to the will of the people or they get bounced out of office. How does it work over there? Because these people don't seem like they're worried about that at all.
They don't. And he's not going to resign at any point. Like, usually there will be pressure to resign. A lot of people can't stand him. People that even voted for him hate him. A lot of people that actually came out against this digital ID have been on the left as well. So it's not like it's just conservatives or reform voters or, people on the right. It's across the board. I mean, people that have left his party because he's not for the people, like Jeremy Corbyn, Zara Sultana, these people who are real lefties actually have said there's no way there should be a digital ID. So I think it's time for the British people to unite on some level and really stand up against him because it's not what any of us wants.
Leilani, you say unite, but is there anything legally, obviously I prefer everybody stay legal and not get arrested, is there anything legal that can be done to stop these people from filling up your country with hostile foreigners and doing things like digital ID? Is there anything legal that can stop them?
We don't have checks and balances like you guys do, so I don't know what we can actually do. You know, we've called for a general election, we've signed petitions. Usually then these petitions get debated, just like one for digital IDs. But sometimes the government can just respond and just say a flat out no. And we've seen it. It's, you know, it's becoming quite dangerous to even speak about things that go against the narrative of this government. We've seen that Keir Starmer is really, really happy to lock people up for things that they say online and in person and at protests. And he will lie to your face and say there is free speech in this country. He will lie to your face and say that he's just trying to crack down on the illegals that are coming over, because that's the real issue. We don't want the illegals to come over because we house them, we feed them, we furnish where they're going to live. We do all of that. And he's kind of bait and switched it to, you know, it's all about their employment. No, we don't want the illegals coming over here. And so, you know, it's become a problem. We've seen a lot of people jailed. I think Fox News actually put a guy called Judge Guy Curler, where he sentenced somebody to 20 months for a social media post. This is a guy who actually led a pedophile who had the worst kinds of child abuse images on his phone walk free on a suspended sentence, okay? We have seen another guy, Nathan Paul. He said, I'm not going to say the phrase, he said, who the F is Allah? And he said it in full. He got sentenced to 30 months in jail for saying that. Yet we'll see, there was a guy called Musa Kadri. He pleaded guilty to assault. He came at a guy who was burning Quran, not a smart thing. The guy was burning the Quran, but not being violent or attacking anyone else. He came at him with a knife. He pleaded guilty to assault and possession of a bladed weapon in public. And he walked away with a suspended sentence again. So we're seeing judges locking up people for what they say. And we're seeing pedophiles and violent criminals, you know, being let out to walk. So when Keir Starmer stood by President Trump a couple of weeks ago and said, and he's very clever if you listen to his words, we have a great history of free speech, right? He didn't say we have free speech now. He's very manipulative and clever in what he uses, but he is a lawyer. So he said that, and then he also spoke about sending people back, and he said, yes, on our new it's called one in one out deal with France, we sent someone back, we deported someone. So, you know, Trump's talking about sending millions of illegals back, he's talking about deporting someone. And this, unfortunately, is, you know, who we have as our leader right now.
Is there something you want from Trump? Because I know this is something that I have heard in my circles of, they want Donald Trump to kind of, I realize he has a bunch of things he has to navigate. They want him to be more forceful with the UK. This is one of our oldest allies, big trading partner. They want Donald Trump to kind of hold his feet to the fire to help patriots like you.
Absolutely. You know, this is something we would really wish for. I remember when Charlie Kirk came to Britain and he was all over the mainstream media, like GB News, kind of talking about it and saying, you know, I'll speak to the administration. Because, you know, we're such huge partners with America, and this goes against your constitution. Like, you know, how are you doing such good trade deals and being so close with Britain when we're losing everything that you guys hold dear as well? And the problem is, Jesse, is I don't think that this is just a problem that's going to happen in Britain. We saw it during the COVID and the lockdown era, where things either happen in lockstep across the West, or they start doing little things to kind of experiment on what will work and what won't work. You know, in Australia, everywhere that speaks English, Canada, New Zealand, Britain, you know, we kind of see that happening. You know, it's gone crazy, even as far as our National Health Service. We're pandering to people that we shouldn't be pandering to. We had an MP, Iqbal Mohammed, who told us that we, as Britons, need to step into the shoes from people from another culture to understand why they're into so much first cousin marriage, which obviously puts a huge strain on the UK National Health Service, which us, the taxpayers, pay for, because we're socialized medicine, right? We're socialized medicine. We pay for it all. And he said it strengthens family bonds and it puts families on a significant foothold. exactly that base. So 50% of British Pakistanis are in first cousin marriages. They have 4% of the births, right? And 30% of the birth defects, genetic birth defects, and it's a huge factor in infant death over here. But because we're now pandering to everywhere else and a different kind of culture, you've got MPs and the National Health Service actually supporting this. And we're just losing Britain. So it's a bit of a rant. There's so much going on here that I never know where to start when we want to talk about the craziness of what's going on over here. But, you know, that's actually been really huge in the news because, you know, our NHS came out and just reiterated everything that this MP said.
Well, that's unbelievably gross, but I guess a family that plays together stays together. Leilani, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood, and I do so enjoy Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller with the White House has been such a good messenger for Donald Trump, the Trump White House, and he is really, what he's putting out there is unapologetic conservatism. I don't even know if I want to say conservatism, unapologetic anti-communism. And this is really important because this stuff bleeds down to the masses. No more navel-gazing. No more, you're being really biased. No. When they treat themselves as your enemy, you treat them as your enemy. This is a pretty good lesson for all of us.
Is it the case that, as Pritzker frames it, you are profiling brown people? That this immigration crackdown is designed to go after people of color?
what a dumb question. The illegal aliens who are here are taking jobs away from blacks. They're taking jobs away from whites. They're taking jobs away from Latinos. They're taking their health benefits away. They're taking their school slots away. And of course, in many cases, they're committing heinous crimes. We cannot have a system of law in this country that privileges illegal aliens over American citizens. And that's what they're doing. You know it, and I know it.
So that's not exactly a no, Stephen. Can you just unequivocally
I said it's a dumb question. Okay.
Well, I appreciate
no,
that. But
and
can
it's
you,
a dumb
can
question.
So no, this policy is not designed
to... I thought when
to,
I said it was a dumb question, it meant no.
Well, I just want to be clear and precise. I appreciate you trying to qualify my questions, but nevertheless, I think it's a fair one that a lot of people have. So
full answer is no, that is a lie, and it's a dumb question.
That's very good. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.